Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
We have a show and tell this morning that if you are in the sanctuary, you can see three different times because it is up on the screens. If you are at home, you can see it on your screen as well. It is also right here in the front of the sanctuary. This is a map of Adventure Island. Are you excited about Adventure Island? Yeah. So this is a map of Adventure Island, and on this map of Adventure Island, there is a destination for each day of Vacation Bible School. And what you really need to see, and you may have to come up closer to see that, so like I say, when the sermon gets boring, just come up here and take a look at this. You know how maps have coordinates on them, right? A little grid with letters along one side and numbers along the top. And ordinarily, on like your average everyday kind of map, the letters go just like A, B, C, D, right? And the numbers go 1, 2, 3. Well, who needs that, right, on Adventure Island? So the letters and the numbers are all in a super crazy order that does not obviously make sense when you are looking at the map. And part of that is to remind us that this is not any ordinary kind of map, right? This is a map that is going to take us on an adventure. And when those coordinates don't all perfectly line up, right, grown-ups, that helps us remember that we just are right where we are, right? That's very deep. You can meditate on that for a while. But kids especially, that'll help us remember that we are not on an ordinary kind of adventure. We are going to keep using our imagination. We are going to keep recognizing where God shows up in unexpected kind of ways, and we are going to be open to the ways that God will surprise us all this week at VBS. Now, we're going to have something like a map in our scripture reading. Not a map with letters along the top and numbers along the side, but we're going to have a plan for how things are, how things come together. And so our scripture reading is going to come from the book of Ephesians. We're going to spend several weeks now in the book of Ephesians, and our reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Will you join me for a prayer for illumination? Spirit of God, descend upon our hearts. Be poured out on us all and fill us with prophecies, visions, and dreams of the world made new. Teach us to love you and love our neighbors as we ought to love. Amen. The letter to the Ephesians begins, I'm actually going to start at verse 1 just because I'm wild and crazy like that. It's a letter, so it begins like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Christ Jesus, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, so the Sunday before vacation Bible school is always just kind of exciting. And partly it's exciting because the chancel and the narthex and the hallway have all been transformed, right? This is not how this place normally looks. And so it's all been transformed into Adventure Island, ready for us to go on that adventure. And now we know why it's set up like this, right? We've seen VBS on the calendar. We knew it was coming. We've seen the announcements. We've gotten phone calls asking if we can help or donate or contribute. And we are so grateful for all of that. So we know why this is here, right? But we don't know why this is here. We don't know all the details. We don't know all the particulars of how this is going to work out. We don't know exactly how these streamers are going to help us show God's love to almost 50 kids who are registered for VBS this week. But we know that they will. We know that they will. We know that all this setup helps to make God's love real this week, as we gather with these kids for VBS. We're going to be reading for the next several weeks, even after the VBS decorations sadly have to come down. We're going to keep reading from this letter to the Ephesians. This is like a first century interchurch newsletter. And the work that this letter is going to do is to unfold the mystery of God's will according to God's good pleasure set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. It's a pretty big job description for several little pages in our Bible, isn't it? God's will to gather everything up in Christ. Ephesians calls God's will, God's plan to gather everything up in Christ. Ephesians calls that a mystery. Y'all know what the word mystery means, right? It's something we don't know, something we don't understand. And this isn't just a mystery like a detective novel, like by the end, the guy in the trench coat is going to figure it all out, right? Mystery here is a technical religious term. A technical religious term, especially like in and near, I don't know, Ephesus, in the western part of the land that is now called Turkey. Mystery is a technical religious term talking about hidden religious knowledge that is accessible only through these special rituals. Special religious knowledge that is only known to people who have been initiated and brought into this special knowledge. And the letter to the Ephesians is going to dig deep into that cosmic mystery of God's will. So let's get a little bit of orientation to this letter. Now, don't panic, but this letter says that it's written by Paul, right? I read that part to you out loud this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, writing to these folks. Well, don't panic. But authorship and audience, when we're talking about biblical texts, is a little bit more complicated than we think it is today. It was really common in the ancient world to write in the name and the spirit of a revered teacher, to kind of prayerfully dig into, okay, how would Paul address the situation of this particular church? And so scholars are pretty sure that Paul, the literal historical Paul himself, didn't write this particular letter. The language just doesn't sound quite like him. The ways that he thinks aren't quite exactly like him. There's some room for debate on that. I'll allow some differences of opinion around that. But to me, what this sounds like is like a follower of Paul, after Paul's death, praying about what would Paul have to say about the situation in the life of this church in this part of the world at this slightly later time. And I dig into that, I guess, so that you can know that it's okay to ask some of those questions and to bring your sense of nuance and your sense of historical understanding and knowledge to the reading of the Bible. That is actually a more faithful way to read the text than to simply insist that whatever the text says about itself is literally what the text means about itself. So don't panic about this part either. I read the word in Ephesus, right, as where this letter was sent. Well, that's there except in like the oldest copies of the letter. So like the originals don't seem to say in Ephesus. That was added a little bit later. This letter is a little bit less specific than some of the other letters that we read in the New Testament. It is especially less specific than a lot of the letters that Paul wrote. See, when Paul wrote a letter, he usually included like his travel plans for the next several months and some specific commentary addressed by name to specific people. And we don't get travel plans in this letter, and we don't get very many specific names of individual people in this. The topics are a little bit more broadly applicable to the life of faith in that first century church. And so maybe that lack of a specific destination, maybe that was just an oversight. The person carrying the letter knew where they were going. Or maybe this was like an encyclical, so it doesn't have a specific individual destination. It's sent to the whole church, really, which is great because I've never been to Ephesus. And yet, here is this letter speaking God's word to me and to us as well. And it was later connected to the church in Ephesus, which is actually kind of consistent with the history of that church. So let me tell you just briefly the history of that church in Ephesus that maybe was in the back of somebody's mind as they were writing this letter from Paul to the church in Ephesus. The 19th chapter of Acts tells us about how Paul planted that church in Ephesus. It was a primarily Gentile church because of the way that that story unfolds and the group of people in the city of Ephesus who were most open to what Paul had to say. And that being a primarily Gentile church actually fits the trajectory of the whole rest of the book of Acts. Now, Ephesus, this city in the western part of what is now Turkey, Ephesus was dominated by one big religious institution, and it was not the Christian church. Ephesus was dominated by a temple to the goddess Artemis, and Ephesus actually had a unique local image of the goddess Artemis that, according to legend, had fallen from heaven as a gift from Jupiter. And the local silversmiths, you can imagine, made a bucket of money selling statues, little miniatures of that statue of Artemis that was in the temple there. And so when Paul came along and planted a church, a Christian church, in that place, his message started to sort of undermine the sales, or threatened anyway to undermine the sales of those silver miniatures of the statue of Artemis there. And so the silversmiths rioted and blamed Paul for it. And so this church was off to a really rocky start in the city of Ephesus. Christians were sort of on the outs, certainly with the silversmiths, with the core of the local economy. They were probably drawn largely from those who were already on the outside of local culture, of this local glory that their religion really didn't have any time for. And so the Christians in Ephesus, they had to know Greek religion as well as their neighbors did, but they didn't practice that Greek religion. They didn't practice that religion even though everything else in their town was organized in relationship to those gods and that ritual space. So this Christian letter If you're reading that in that context, this Christian letter talks about this mystery of God's will that gathers everything, that organizes everything in the universe under Jesus Christ. It invites us as Christians to reorganize our lives, not according to the logic of the world around us, but according to the logic of the gospel, the logic of the mystery of God's will that gathers everything into Christ. And remember, that mystery, that's a word for this secret knowledge that you can only get with this specific ritual initiation. But the whole mystery of the Christian faith is that you belong. The whole mystery of the Christian faith is that you belong. That you belong and everyone around you belongs. That's it. That seems obvious, doesn't it? It seems obvious to us that that's how it should work, but we also know that that is hard work, that that is a hard mystery to actually live into being. It is hard to live into being a community where you do, in fact, belong, where you are, in fact, welcome with all that you bring to the table. Religious history is full of ways of organizing some of us to the inside and some others to the outside. And that's not only about lines between religions, that's about lines within religion, between the ones that we privilege and the ones that we blame for their own problems. And Paul is writing to those who have historically been blamed for their own problems, who have historically been excluded. And it's not surprising that, as Paul says, they have a clear view of what that mystery says. Despite everything, this church in Ephesus knows that they belong, or at least that they ought to. Over the next several weeks, we're going to dig deeper into that. We're going to dig deeper into the way that we can all belong. But what we know is that we haven't fully lived into that mystery quite yet. We haven't quite grown all the way into God's intention for us and for our communities. We know we aren't there yet, and we know that we are called into that reality, into that mystery, where all do belong. The fact that we're not there is not a reason to give up. The fact that we are not there is all the more reason to pray that God's kingdom come, that God's will be done. So today's reading is pointing us just toward that, just toward that understanding of God's will, that everyone belongs, so that we can start looking for it in Ephesians and throughout the rest of our lives. And we are going to look for that same mystery this week at Vacation Bible School. As we welcome kids to Adventure Island and we make room for everyone to belong in whatever ways we can make that room, for a lot of the kids who join us this week, it'll just be the simple joy of being welcomed and invited to participate. Some of the kids who join us this week are going to struggle. They're going to struggle to fit in. They're going to struggle to recognize that it's possible for them to matter and be welcomed too. Sometimes that'll be a truth that they want to know despite everything else that life has taught them. For most of the kids who gather with us, there will be moments of challenge and disappointment that ultimately will build us up together in love. For all of us, there are going to be opportunities to share and to serve. So it's all set up. It's all ready. It's all organized and put together and destined and planned for welcome and for love. So may it serve our kids, our neighbors, and the whole church. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
As our moment for mission this morning, we will be commissioning our Vacation Bible School volunteers. VBS begins this evening. We're going to welcome almost 50 kids who have pre-registered, plus any who walk in. And we have the help of dozens of volunteers to help make that happen. Volunteers make all the pieces of VBS run smoothly, from snacks and games to leading groups from station to station and taking pictures so that we can share those pictures with our family and friends later on. We dedicate today gifts of time, of energy, of love, and that's an offering that you volunteers will be giving all week. I'm going to name the volunteers that we know about who will be helping us with VBS this week. And as I name you, I invite you to stand and be recognized, and then we will pray over you. Volunteering this week includes Lotsamie Hilliard, Heidi Drake, Carol Brazzi, Mary Marshall, Amanda Harden, Joe Chance, Barb Storyahan, Lily Barker, Roger Todd, Caitlin McClintock, Elaine Berry, Terry Springer, Rhonda Barker, Jen Chance, Deb Kellogg, Marilyn Johnson, Deb Hayes, Paul Hayes, William Beyer, Emily Smith, Mark Hilliard, Russ Marshall, Wes Schieber, Colin Freeberg, Susie Thompson, Caitlin Chance, Ellie Reed, Charles Chance, Gavin Johnson, Karsten Barker, Elizabeth Hilliard, Ian Williams, Nicole Johnson, Emma Kellogg, Chris Martin, McKenna McClintock, Carter Barker, Perry Van Tassel, Mark Albers, Drew Markentel, and Emma Foster Kruger. We also dedicate and commission this morning Laura Schieber, who coordinates all those volunteers, which is in itself a full-time job, and organizes the rest of VBS. I invite you to raise a hand toward someone of these volunteers who is close to you as we will pray God's blessing on them. God of grace, you plan for us to receive your love and share it with others. So give your blessing to these volunteers who offer their time and love to children at VBS this week. In everything they do, help them know your love for them and show them always how to share your love with others. Make our time together an adventure in your light. Let us always be filled with your welcome, your faith, and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.